just making sure you were here. Good morning. He is risen. Amen. Well, we're so happy that you're here today. I think we're going to have a real treat this morning at this service, as well as our breakfast, and then our second service later as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So welcome. If you're a visitor here today, if you need anything, just catch any one of us. We can tell you if you need to know where restrooms are or anything like that, let us know. And I'll give further instructions at the end about the breakfast and pray for that. And so we're just going to enjoy the day together. So thanks for coming. Let me start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going here. Lord, thank you for this day. We could celebrate the resurrection of your Son. We pray that we'd honor you in that today, that we'd enjoy the time together as we celebrate. And just pray for each one that's prepared, that they'd be able to execute as they desire, that you'd just help us to honor you as we do that. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Luke 21:1-11. And when they had approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.'" And immediately he will send them. And this took place in order that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and mounted on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a pack animal."
Disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their garments on them. He sat on the garments, spread the garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them in the road, and the crowds going ahead of him. And those who followed were crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Are you fully trusting? Luke 22:7-13. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go prepare a Passover for us, so that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, after you enter the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters." And you shall say to the owner of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large furnished upper room, prepared it there. And they left and found everything just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover.
And now when the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me."
The Son of Man is going just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You yourself said it."
And now while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it. And giving it to the disciples, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sin."
I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of this vine from now on until that day. Then I will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Pray. Please stand as we sing this last chorus with us.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 56. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us go. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand."
And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, and with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who it was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." And immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him.
And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck the slave out of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and heal at once put my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Therefore, how will the scriptures be fulfilled which say it must happen this way?"
Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but All this has taken place in order that the scriptures of the prophets would be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Promises. He said the sons of Abraham would be more than the grains of sand.
Though his family grew underneath the Pharaoh's rule.
Oh God, he always keeps his promises. He said the blood upon the door would keep the Israelites secure.
And so he stayed his
of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23.
For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20.
Matthew 26:57-58. Now those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. And they did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. Later on, two came forward and said, "This man stated, 'I am able to destroy the sanctuary of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God that you shall tell us whether you are Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, You yourself said, nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his garments and said, he has blasphemed. What further need we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said to him, he deserves death. Then they spat on his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, O Christ, who is the one who hit you? Matthew 27:1-2. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Matthew 27:11-26. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He was being accused by the chief priests and elders. He did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor marveled greatly.
Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew because of envy they had delivered him over.
Now while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and put Jesus to death. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And they all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil did he do? But they were crying out all the more, saying, let him be crucified.
Now when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him over to be crucified.
Child of weakness, watch and pray.
Matthew 27:27-37. Then when the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, they gathered the whole Roman cohort around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. When they mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on and led him away to crucify him.
And as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he did not want to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
And one of the criminals hanging there was blaspheming him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for what we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise."
Matthew 27:45-48. Now from the sixth hour of darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, for when they heard this, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And immediately one of them ran, taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. John 19:30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Matthew 27:45-51. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and rocked.
Matthew 27:54. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, "Truly this was God's son." John 19:31-42. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things come to pass in order that the scripture be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced."
Now after these things of Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. And Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 litres. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings, with the spices, as is the burial custom to the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jews' day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Now, Matthew 27:62-66. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, order for the grave to be made secure
until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. And at the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how. And so they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on a stone.
Matthew 28:1-20. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, there is a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards quaked from fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and report to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.
Now while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and took counsel together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' And if this is heard before the governor, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money and did as they had been instructed, and the story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
He arose, hallelujah, he arose. Luke 24:44-49. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and that the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and the repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high."
Acts 1:1-11. The first account, O Theophilus, I composed about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days and speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now."
So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel?" But he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven."
Amen. Sing along with us. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Raise your joys and trust.
Good morning. If I could have my trusty helpers come up and help me. Kids, you guys did a great job. Adults, you did good too. But kids, can we give them a round of applause? Okay, I got my trusty helpers coming here. Kids, you got to stare at me for about 30 minutes. So now you get to stare at me for maybe 5 to 10 minutes. Thank you, guys. We have the trusted table back. Can we trust this table? I don't know. Jude, if you could show that video from last year, please.
I'm not really a scientist, so we'll see what happens. Yoshua told me that faith comes by hearing and not by seeing. I'm grateful for that today.
All right,
I have your attention now.
Yes. I've learned that the art of a good object lesson is to have a good introduction, and I don't know if I can do any better than that, so we brought that back. I have two questions. Does anyone even remember the object lesson I did last year? A few of you do. Now, my second question is, I've got these two somewhat heavy rocks. If I put them on this table, how many of you are concerned that this table's going to fall down? Anyone? Well, we'll start with one over here. Well, you'll notice something. I got zip ties today. Because I learned... What did I learn last year? That your table is only as good as the foundation legs that it's setting on, right? That's what I learned. So last night, I went and looked for zip ties in my house, found them, used them. Now, here's the problem. I could spend all day, all night, the next week, making this table as strong as I possibly could, and I'll never make it strong enough. Because... there's always going to be someone who can come in with a sledgehammer. There could be someone who comes in with a giant backhoe. They could destroy this table. It will never, ever be strong enough. It's very important to understand that what we're setting on, what we're standing on, is a strong foundation. Now, I just said something. You're never going to find a foundation that is strong enough. I mean, it's strong enough to do what we're doing, right now, like where we're sitting, what's holding this church up. But there's always something in this world that can physically tear up a foundation. Now, you'll notice I've got this rock, and I got another rock here, and I just found these outside this week. I went looking for rocks, and I found them. And I brought them up to use as an illustration. Now, the Bible compares us as believers to living stones. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "You yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God compares us to a house that is being built up. And as this house is being built, he compares us to stones that are living. Now, just as I said, when you're building a house and you're putting it together with stones, it has to rest on a foundation. So as believers, what is our foundation? What do we live on? So you could think about this stone as being representing us as believers in Jesus Christ, and then we can have this other stone which represents Jesus Christ, you guys did a good job of reading through and explaining what he did on the cross and how he came back to life. Verse 4, going back one verse of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious." So the Bible compares him to a stone that is living. That's really important. A living stone. That's what we're celebrating today. On Friday, we remembered how he was put to death for our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. And there's no one in this room that is free of sin. Everyone, each one of us deserved to be punished, but Jesus took all of that upon himself. He was crucified, and then what happened on the third day? What are we celebrating today? Jesus came back to life. He is now alive, and I thought about bringing a third stone up just to represent the tomb and how that stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. People looked inside of it. They saw that no one was in it. Jesus is alive today. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 2 says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Jesus has done the work. He died on the cross. He came back to life. And he has a precious promise to us, an amazing promise to us, that if we believe in him, we will not be put to shame, meaning we will be able to stand with God, before God, and know that we are forgiven. We will be able to be with him in heaven forever. Now, that verse also says that he is a cornerstone. This probably isn't the best stone to use as a cornerstone. You probably want one that's nice and square. Because when you start to lay a foundation, the first stone you lay is the most important stone. If that one's not right, the whole foundation is off. And Jesus is our perfect cornerstone. He's that perfect cornerstone that as a house, as believers, we rest upon that. Now, I mentioned something. I said you cannot make a foundation, a physical foundation. You can never make it strong enough that something or someone could come in and destroy. It's impossible. But let me ask you the question. Is it possible for our foundation that Jesus Christ has laid and that he is that living stone, is it possible for that foundation to be broken? Could we do something? Could someone else do something? Or let me ask you this. Could Satan come in and could he destroy that foundation? You know what? Satan really tried really hard. John 10:10 says that a thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in full. Satan is described as one who comes to destroy. He is trying to tear down the foundation. He's trying to get our eyes so we are no longer focusing on Jesus Christ, but on something else. But is Jesus stronger than that? 1 John 4:4 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is greater than he," I'm sorry, let's read this again. "For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The he that is in the world is Satan. The he that is in you is Jesus Christ. God is greater. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can break this foundation. And we have this promise that describes this even more. In Romans 8:37 through 39, it says, "Knowing all these things, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our foundation that we have in Jesus Christ, it's too strong. It is impossible to break. Nothing, not even Satan, not even ourselves, not even what someone else could do to us, can break it. So my question to you, whether you're a child here today or whether you're an adult, is do you understand that because of your sin, you are separated from God? But do you understand even more that Jesus Christ came, died for those sins, and he has came back to life? He has done all the work. Our responsibility is to believe in Jesus Christ and to trust him. And that is something we must do. If we don't do that, we are then promised eternity away from Jesus and hell. And so I can't think of a better day than today. And I'll say that tomorrow, and I'll say that all the way through the rest of this year. The best day to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior is today. But today is a special day because we are celebrating Easter.
Whoa. Lightning. Hey, that was great, Ben. Thank you so much. And just to follow up that for just a moment, if you're not sure you're a believer in Christ and you want to know how, talk to me or talk to Ben or talk to one of our elders. They'll be in the prayer room after the second service today. But we don't want anybody to go away not understanding what this day is all about. There's so much confusion about Easter. I'm going to talk a lot about that the second service. And reveal how damaging it has become in Christianity, not in the world. We expect the world to be confused about Easter, but the church is getting confused about it and is wandering away from the gospel message, which Ben clearly showed. Christ is the foundation. Without him, we have nothing. So, thanks, Ben, for revealing that. I'm so proud of you for not breaking the table this year. Nothing broke last year. But there were some serious chemicals up here last year. Think about that long enough, and you'll remember what he was illustrating last year. Anyway, I wanted to dismiss you for breakfast. I'm going to pray for our meal, and then when you go, you can just go in and eat. And so, very simple instructions, go that way. Go towards the southeast there. Go down the main foyer into the family center. They will hand you a plate. There's two lines. You'll go through very quickly. We've got 400 seats set up in there. So if you're a family, you don't have to worry about being together. There's plenty of room for everybody to spread out and be together as a family and so forth. And get through rather quickly. I'm sure you'll get through the line very quickly, and you can enjoy the time together. And then about 10 to 10:15, we're going to stop serving. We're going to get that room cleaned up and get back in here for our second service. We'll have lots of good music again. Thank you, Joe and the adult choir, Jill and the kids choir. They did a phenomenal job this morning. It was so refreshing, I guess, to hear that good music and the kids singing. With the adults, that was a great blessing. More of the second service coming, and I think you'll be encouraged as we go through the morning together. So why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then you can go through the line. Thank the men that are out there. They've been here since early this morning cooking for us. So thank them as you go through for their service to us today. And enjoy the decorations. We had some ladies working hard here this week doing that as well to make it nice for us. And we'll enjoy celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Lord, thank you for the great message of this day, of the resurrection of Christ, the freedom from sin, the sin that so destroys us, and that we can trust in you and have eternal life. And thank you for the message this morning. So many delivered it so eloquently through the scriptures, and we're grateful for our children, the adults that lead them, the adults that sang for us today, and Ben's teaching, Lord. It's all been a blessing. We look forward to a good meal now and the fellowship we can have together. Thank you for the men that prepared it. Bless them for that. And we pray you'd strengthen our bodies with it. May the words we say be encouraging, and all we do glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.